And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I want to use a word in church we don't say very often, and I wish we did, so I'm going to say it. And that word is worldview. I'm not sure why we don't say the word worldview very often. Everybody has a worldview. Even people that don't use the word worldview have a worldview. A worldview means exactly what it sounds like. It means, how do you see the world around you? How do you interpret it? What values do you come at it with? Worldview is, as I said, something that everybody has in their head and their heart, whether they use the word or not. I'm going to ask some big worldview questions for you this morning. You don't need to answer out loud. Last night, everybody wanted to keep answering the questions like I was testing them or something. I'm not testing you. I just want to raise some questions for you. These are worldview questions. The first biggie is this: is there a God? See, I told you not to answer, and you did it. You did it anyway. Is this a Lutheran church? They're disobedient. Anyway, all right, is there a God? People here are going to say yes. I want to say this about that question. There aren't 15 different answers. Right? Some people like to say, oh, there's all kinds of different truths. I think that's a binary question. Is there a God? I think that's a yes or no thing, isn't it? Is there such a thing as truth? Oh, there's still a couple disobedient. Was that you, Michael Dosen? Yeah, okay. Is there such a thing as morality? And does morality change by the decade? That's the one we live in now, right? Come on, Mom and Dad, it's the 21st century. What happens when you die? Is there a soul? In other words, is there something to you beyond just the physical body? And if there is a soul, does a person continue after their physical death? And here's a big question. If there is such a thing as salvation, how are you saved? Those are worldview questions. I think everybody answers those questions in their head, in their heart, whether they've said it out loud or not, whether they use the word worldview or not. Everybody thinks about those questions. And I want to get to our epistle lesson in just a minute. That's where we're going to be, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But before we get there, I want to reference just the first few words of our Old Testament lesson, because here's how we answer worldview questions. Our Old Testament lesson this morning was Exodus chapter 20, God giving the Ten Commandments. But I don't want to look at the commandments. I want to look at the words before the commandments. And they are these words: and God spoke. Got it? That's a difference, right? And God spoke. God has spoken words. That means God has spoken content to us for us to read, to analyze, to think about, to understand, and even to apply. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul doesn't use the word worldview, but he's talking about worldviews when he says this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I want us to hear what he's saying. Is there a God? Is there truth? Is there morality? How are you saved? Our answer is God spoke. But the reason he's saying that that message is foolishness to many people is they're saying, I don't want your Bible. I don't want your God, and I don't want what he says. Many people say that. By the way, he's given you the free will to say that. When people say that, where do they wind up? You're saying there's no God. The Bible, therefore, isn't the word of God. That means there's no authority outside of myself. That means that modern man is in the position where he's saying, starting only from myself, observing the world around me and reaching my own conclusions is where truth is found. They are adrift. I hate to say it, but they are adrift. But Paul is saying there really is an A or a B on this one. And if you subscribe to the Word of God, there's lots of people around you who are going to say, that is silliness. Now, the atheist says that it's foolishness. I want to get this. There are other religions, and although they differ to the particulars, they all say essentially the same thing, that there is a God, and he wants you to behave. Right? Their rules differ from place to place. Buddhism has the Four Noble Truths. Islam has the Five Pillars. But every religion says, here's our list of the stuff you got to do. Religion, other than Christianity, says if you want to be saved, you have to be good. Who has to be good? You have to be good. And they differ about the particulars, but every one of them says you save yourself. Is that what the Bible is saying? It is not. The Bible is not saying that at all. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness. I've been talking about the word foolishness, but I want to hear this. It says the message of the cross. The message of the cross of Jesus Christ. How are you saved? By faith in this one. The world can say we don't believe in God. That can say that. That's fine. We are saying there is a God, and he's powerful. He created everything. Here's a funny thing about it. God in his power has said, I have also given mankind the ability to rebel. So our God is powerful, but he's allowed sin and rebellion. So what have we chosen? Rebellion. And people say, if your God is powerful, why is there suffering in the world? We can't answer every question about suffering, but I do know this. Our God entered this world and himself suffered. That's the message of the cross. Yeah, there's suffering in the world. Jesus came and suffered with us, right? Well, if he's powerful, he should rule. If he's powerful, let him reign from on high. He came to die. That's God's wisdom. That God, in all of his power, would become a tiny little baby, grow to be a man, be hated and rejected, to suffer and die. That's the message of the cross. I want us to be very clear about it. It's very distinct from what everybody else is saying. Religion says you have to do better. And atheism says nothing matters in the long run anyway. And the Christian church is saying, Jesus for you. The message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness, but it says to those who are perishing, to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. That's exactly right. It's the power of God to get the cross, the cross, the cross. There's nothing else, right? Now, when Paul says that the message of the gospel is foolishness, I want us to get this. There's a big challenge here. I think the challenge is that I hope it's not just me. I think all of us, when we deal with the people around us, I think we would all like to have intellectual respectability. Do you worry about that? I think we tend to think, will people respect me as a person and will they respect what I'm saying? We get that the point is that they're rejecting the Bible, but we're afraid to be rejected ourselves. And so in trying to maintain intellectual respectability, sometimes churches are tempted to go along with what everybody else is saying, right? A new intellectual trend comes along and the church says, oh, us too. Us too. And in doing that, we lose the scandal of the cross. Paul is saying there really is an A or a B. And he's very stark in his language. Verse 20, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's saying the world has a wisdom and they think it's wise, but it's false. And the other religions have a wisdom and it's false. What we know is Jesus. That's what we know. God's answer is the cross. And when we confront both the law and our sinfulness, we have nothing in our hands but to say, what are we supposed to do with this? That's what people in Acts chapter 2 said, right? Peter preached, and the people said, what are we supposed to do? What did he say? Repent and be baptized. That's what he said. Repent and be baptized. Here's a beautiful thing. He did not say, you need to do a lot of self-improvement. Right? That is the answer. Even the atheist will say, here's our ethics. You need to be better. Everybody is saying, you need to be a better you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we're lost and we're also redeemed. What, Lord, are we supposed to do? He says, repent and be baptized. That, of course, means to have faith in the word of God, to trust that our salvation is not in ourselves, but is in Jesus. And I love it that, by the way, he mentions a sacrament, be baptized. Paul says something else here. It's a little disarming. I always smile when I look at this text, 1 Corinthians 1. He's saying there is a worldview challenge. There is an A or a B out there. But verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Up till now, it's the good news of the gospel. And then he looks at us, and I think he sort of, I don't know, he disarms me a bit. He takes away our power, doesn't he? Think of what you were when you were called. What does he say? Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Paul, what are you saying about us? Now, by the way, he said not many. He didn't say none at all. But he says most Christians do not have power and influence. If you do, awesome, thanks be to God. But most of us, in 1 Corinthians, they didn't. Most of us probably don't. So he says, think of what you were when you were called. And why would we want to think of it? Because this is what he's going to go on to say. God has chosen the foolish things, the weak things, and the lowly things. What's he talking about? Us. That's a little, gee, Paul, that's a little much, huh? You chose the weak things, the foolish things, the lowly things. Why? To shame the rich and the powerful. And to say that if a group of folks like us ever accomplish anything, we know it's a God thing, right? Last thing I want to notice this morning is this. Sometimes the Bible uses a word ironically, by the way. When the Bible says that what we preach is foolishness, Paul is not saying that we all need to be fools. He's saying the message of the cross is foolishness, but it's only foolishness to people who think it so. The reality is that what the world thinks is foolish is actually God's wisdom, and it's God's power, and God's power is Christ and what he's done in Christ. He says the same thing. This is Paul writing Corinthians. The book before it is Romans. He says the exact same thing in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the what? It's the power of God. Isn't that fun? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's saying other people are going to put it down, but I'm not ashamed of it because the gospel is the power of God. What kind of power? For the salvation of everyone who believes. Isn't that what he says here in verse 25? 1 Corinthians 1, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And so that's what we have, the message of the cross as a church to proclaim Jesus for sinners. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but what else is it? To those who are being saved, it's what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.